everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are here for our last episode of Chesapeake Chats for the season. We're talking about the finale of Chesapeake Shores for this season. And I'm Rachel, and I'm joined by my friend Anne. Who we had last week that I introduced as Whitney, but it's actually Anne. So I apologize for that. But welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be back again.
Yes. You said that Whitney's your middle name, right?
Actually, Whitney's my first name. Anne's my middle name. So I'm one of the cursed middle child people who mistakenly call their first name all the time. So it's totally okay.
Okay. Well, good. Well, but thank you for coming on and talking about this finale. Let's dive right in because there's a lot to cover.
Yes,
so how did you feel as a whole about the finale for wrapping up the season?
As a whole, I felt pretty good about it. I felt like there was some different things that were kind of, you know, come to light or kind of, just kind of resolved or where I hoped it was going to go for some of the things, not for all of the things. But so I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. There's some things we'll talk about that I didn't like, but there was quite a bit that I did like, especially with Kevin and Sarah. I think were the highlight of the whole season, honestly, and of the finale. It starts out with Donovan showing up, and he tells Trace that you don't have to go to Nashville. Nashville's coming to you. And you get to be a producer of Emma's album. So I'm just going to try to set aside the fact that this is completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
No way. But I guess, I don't know. I feel like, do you feel like they have established that Trace, his dream is to be a producer?
No, I don't. I thought when he said that, I thought, what? I didn't know that was his dream to be a producer or to, you know, have made it sound like he specifically wanted to have a recording studio in the Bridge. And I'm like, I've never heard of this before.
Right. That's what I felt.
Yeah.
Because like producing is very different than singing.
Performing.
And,
yeah.
And especially if he is so famous. that as they portray him to be, I just find it really hard to believe that this is a happy ending. And I know some people might look at it as, oh, he's compromising so that he can be there for Abby. Yeah. And I guess you can make that argument, mm-hmm. but it feels like, I mean, I know some people don't like Trace, but if I'm just looking at the stats of his character, I just feel like he is supposed to be a singer. That's all that we've really gotten from him. You have to go way back to season one where he didn't want to tour because of the accident.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just don't feel like this is a happy ending. Assuming the show doesn't get renewed, I don't feel like this is a happy ending for Trace.
Yeah, I agree, because I just don't think that, like you said, they're always showing him singing, always showing him writing and performing. And so that's what he seems like to us that he likes to do. So that doesn't seem like his dream.
Right, exactly. I feel like he was kind of sending off Emma on sort of his dream. And were you disappointed that was kind of probably the end of her character? And the end of her arc?
I was a little bit. I kind of wanted to see it play out at least like a little bit more, because I still don't feel ready to see Trace and Abby together. I was kind of like, okay, well, wow, now she's, you know, going off to Nashville and he's just totally, you know, kind of axing her. So
yeah, I mean, there are so many people trying to get contracts and get make albums in Nashville that that, I mean, this is an incredible gig for her. This is amazing. But I would have liked to have seen her a little bit more, because I think that she was a good, better match for Trace, and somebody who actually accepted him for who he is.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to, this to me felt like I don't know how to explain this. This to me felt like a way to kind of all the people that said that were mad that Trace went on tour. This is a way to kind of make them happy. But I guess I differ from those people because I don't think going on tour was wrong, like, at all. And I think he's a singer. He's going to go on tour. They weren't engaged. They're not even.
Yeah.
Like, he should have. I don't understand. I just don't. I will never understand why that is a selfish choice on his part. He even talked to her. It's not like he just went. If he left, then I could see. But he talked to her. He talked to her about it. He had a solution. It just, I will never understand that. And I know that a lot of Hallmarkies would very much disagree with me, but that's where I'm at. So
I can see both sides, definitely. But I mean, yeah, I can, you know, this is what he should be doing, like you said, because he is a singer. And I mean, yeah, maybe they should talk about how long he should be on, you know, maybe the length of the tour and the breaks and stuff. But I mean, that's what he does. So it's just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. But anyway, that's what happened. And then we have the grand opening for the B&B there. And Jess finds David's ring that he's put in a drawer when she's looking for scissors. And what did you think about sort of this whole plot line of her kind of waiting for him to propose, kind of hinting at it, and then him not doing it for a long time? Did you like that?
I did like it. Yeah. Only because it happened to me. I mean, I didn't find the ring, but there was times where I thought my husband now was going to propose and he didn't. But then I was so, like she was, I was just like, just felt so just like, and like bummed and like wanted it to happen. But she saw it. So she like really was like, come on, you know, just do it because I want to be excited, like outside of my body instead of just inside, you know?
So, yeah.
I liked the way they did it. I thought that was funny.
Well, and there were sometimes when I thought, oh, he is purposely kind of leading her on.
Like he has to know. Yeah.
Like he knows she knows. But then there were a couple other times, like when Brie was like, you need to get her done kind of thing. I was like, does he know she knows? I think he does, but It was a little confusing, but it was very cute. I liked that a lot. That was a really fun little plot. And it's about time. They definitely they need to get engaged.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really cute. And so we get Mick offering Abby a job as a full partnership at the company, and she's kind of struggling a little bit with it, what she wants to do, because she was, and I can kind of relate to this a little bit because we had a family business in our company, I mean in our family, and I did struggle the fact that I've kind of worked for the family company in one, it's now gotten sold many, many times, but I'm still sort of working for that company as it's been dissected and divided and moved around. And I kind of struggled with that at first because it was just not what I pictured myself doing.
Yeah.
But I finally realized that almost everybody gets jobs that way.
Yeah.
You know, through connections, through people they know, family, that almost everybody gets jobs that way. So I thought that was an interesting story for Abby.
Yeah, I thought it was too. I was kind of surprised, but kind of not. And I just, I don't know what she's, well, I think that they'll have her choose if it goes on, that she'll work with them just to show a different dynamic and she won't have to go to Baltimore, I guess, all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I agree with you, and I think that would be a good spot for her, because she's never seemed to be really that invested in her career that much.
Yeah, yeah, she doesn't. And, you know, after what they did, you know, the stuff they did, like, would she even want to, you know, go back? And,
Yeah, and she'll be able to spend more time with the girls.
Exactly.
If she's... Yeah, it's too bad we never got to see the Titanic play. I'm very disappointed about that.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah, we were gypped. No kids doing Titanic.
Six episodes, we missed stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so then we have Megan that she's setting up her studio. And so she talks to Mick about what they want to do. And she tells him that she stopped painting when she was pregnant with Bree, and she just didn't have time after that. And that's probably a pretty, he says, oh, I'm so sorry about that. And she says, don't be, you know, it was my choice. Then that probably is somewhat realistic because we have different seasons of life, you know, that, and sometimes we get to, like, my mom is actually, she's been taking for the last, I don't know, 2 years, maybe year and a half, she's been taking these pretty intensive art classes where she, for most of the day, she's at the at this place where she's becoming quite a great little artist, and it's cool, and it's something she's always wanted to do and learn about. And so it, you know, that's, it's a season of life where, you know, her kids are all out of the house, so she can do that, where she couldn't have done that when she had, you know, all these kids, six kids around. So, I thought that was a nice moment between those two.
Yeah, that was a nice moment.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Okay, so then we get to meet, I think his name was Brian on the show, played by Peter Benson, who I love. Uh-huh. And we got to interview him, and he's delightful. And so he is introduced as the agent of the lady who runs the playhouse that is doing Bree's play. So supposedly, Bree has had at least two plays and a best-selling novel, right?
Yes.
So it is completely unrealistic that she wouldn't have an agent.
That's what I was thinking when they said that. I mean, I was like, I guess I knew she didn't, but yeah, it's just so much for, you know.
Yeah. Like, she can self-publish her book, but those usually don't become bestsellers. And like, usually the only people that are become bestsellers with self-published novels or self-published books are if it's already part of their existing business. For instance, my Aunt Carol has a business, Dressing Your Truth. We've had my cousin Anne on the podcast a couple times. She has books that she self-publishes, but she's like her own agent because she just markets. I mean, she may have an agent, I don't know, but she has a whole company to help her promote her books, right? And so I'm no expert on the thing, but the fact that she wouldn't have an agent seems highly unlikely.
Yeah, because agents have to negotiate like stores and shelf space and advertising and all that. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and also publicity for the book and also all of the editing that has to take place, and even things like the spine and the you know, the back of the book, all that stuff has all decisions that have to be made along with the publisher. And most publishers, like, for instance, if you want to get a book published through Hallmark Publishing, they have specific times that are, that they accept unagented submissions, which is, I think, a little bit unusual for a publisher, but for the most part, you aren't even allowed to submit your book for publishing until you have an agent. And so that is ridiculous, but we'll set that aside. just like with Trace and the Donovan thing. Yeah. Set that aside. So basically, like, Peter Benson says to her, I'll be thinking ahead of time. You are just worried about what you're going to write. I'll be making those opportunities available for you. And so, yeah, that's a definite win-win for her, for sure.
That was good. She needed somebody. She didn't have anybody.
Do you think if things go forward, do you picture this becoming more than just a business relationship? Did you get that spark?
I kind of could see that. I could see them taking it, like, yeah, towards a romantic way. But I also thought it was interesting that she is going to be going to London. And isn't that what Simon's supposed to be?
Yeah, this must be, like, way off Broadway, because unless they get a big star to Broadway London, unless they get, like, a really big star, because this play looked like it had, what, 4 people in it?
Yeah.
Maybe? So there's no way they would use a Broadway stage for some little tiny play. You'd have to have, I don't know, like Emma Watson or something, some, like, big name.
Yeah.
In order for that to happen for a play. If it was a musical, maybe, but I don't know. So yeah, she's gonna, and it is interesting that the movie is supposed to be in Ireland.
Yeah.
So if she has to go over there to England for her play, that could be kind of and then they end up in Ireland. It could be a tie-in.
Yeah, that could be. I was thinking that too.
Mm-hmm. So who knows? And then we have Kevin and Sarah. They're talking about the expenses of kids. And her family is in town, and they give the biggest handshakes to ever exist for Kevin. I mean, it is kind of surprising when he works in they both work in a firehouse, so yeah. You think he'd be used to that.
Exactly, yeah. That kind of.
And I was so proud of them, though. Because he agrees to go visit her family for Christmas. Yeah. And I was like, oh good. they you know, because one of my pet peeves is they act like driving to Pennsylvania is, like, the biggest,
yeah, it's like Africa or something,
journey. Yeah, yeah. I mean you can get there in a morning, and, like, they could go Christmas Eve, go in the morning, spend the whole day there, and then leave and go back to Chesapeake Shores for Christmas. Like, that would be no big deal. Yeah. And so it's so funny to me. And so I was like, oh, look at them. They're bridging this divide. I thought it was funny. Yeah.
Put it out there, and he offered it, and, you know.
Yeah.
Really glad, so.
Because that is, I don't know how you have dealt with that in your marriage, as far as, like, who do we visit, is that a hard thing?
It's very difficult, yeah, because I really, really love Christmas, and Christmas is important to me, and so it's really hard, and our families live only, like, an hour away from each other, and so, you know, to decide how to split the time, and what to, you know, it's just a lot, and then my brother has his girlfriend, and so it's, like, everybody trying to be on the same schedule, you know, it's like, you know, when is he going to go to there, and when are we going to come home, you know, and try to be the same time there, and it can get really crazy.
Yeah.
So I was nice, I thought, that he offered that.
I thought it was too, and It's more just sort of almost more teasing that I guess I feel like the people who wrote the show have never been to the mid-Atlantic states. And you can just tell there's so many old things that it's like, I mean, have we ever seen them eating crabs even one time? Because I guarantee you, if you lived on the Chesapeake Shore, you'd be eating blue crabs.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, lots of seafood.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
Anyway, it's just kind of funny when something's supposed to be set in your hometown and it's like,
Yeah.
Not quite. But that was cute. I was proud of Kevin and Sarah. But I did feel like they were just priming it to have a little pregnancy announcement at the end. They were just talking so much about kids. And
I know. Yeah, they really did.
Yeah. So that kind of surprised me a little bit. So then we find out that the tourist office has discovered that they opened their inn early and they have given them a substantial substantial fee. And what do you think of that tourist, that guy, the inspector guy?
I was just like, okay, this is interesting. And then they didn't tell us what the substantial fee was, but I mean, I thought the guy, he was like, I mean business, and he was like, you know, ready to do whatever, he, you know, what he was there to do. And then they were like, what?
Yeah, it was pretty funny, especially that whole scene where Jess is trying to like schmooze him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably somewhat unethical, but it made me laugh. It was funny.
Yeah.
It was very funny. And then they have Abby and Jay talking about her mixed feelings about running the family business, and we find out that she hasn't accepted his friend request yet on Facebook. So, and then he asks her out on a date, and we get kind of an awkward date because they get there to the restaurant and Trace and Emma are there. And so it's, then they end up leaving. So it's kind of awkward. And I still just liked Jay so much better. I feel like he was such a good listener.
I thought he was great. Yeah.
He really cared about her experience and what she wanted, and was like good at asking questions. Yeah. And I don't know, they just seemed so compatible to me.
I agree. I think that he was just so kind. And like you said, he really listened and he really asked her, you know, well, how do you feel about this? And, you know, he really just cared about it. He's just so sweet. And I like Grayson Holt just because I watched him in this TV show. So I just wanted to see more of him.
I know.
Like him. So I really wanted, you know, it to, you know, like I said, to go further, just like with Emma. And I knew they were going to go back eventually, you know, but I just wanted more time.
Yeah, me too. And so basically we have Connor, he is interviewing for a new job with this other firm that he had worked on the case with. And so it's kind of an interesting dynamic that happens with him. He tells Mick that he is super, super busy, but then Mick talks to Thomas and Thomas is like, oh, I've been giving him a break, but I was just about to make him first chair in the new upcoming case. And so they're all kind of like, what's going on? It turns out he's considering this other job. And so Mick talks to him, and they have sort of this discussion. And then also sort of Connor is trying to figure out how to give the pitch for him to get this new job. And Nell says to Connor about her getting her driver's license renewed. And that kind of sparks this idea about the law and what he's going to say in his interview about the law kind of evolving and how this county, they had looked at the city ordinances, but they hadn't looked at the county.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, what did you think about Connor in this episode?
I think that he kind of, I mean, he went for what he wanted, you know, and he was, but then you could tell that he, you know, that when Mick said that, you know, he was going to make you like first chair, he kind of looked like so shocked. And, you know, I think he just, you know, he got tired of waiting. But like you said in the last podcast, you know, it's, when you're a lawyer, you have to pay your dues and you have to do things, you know, and just for a long time, things that you know, you might not be ready to do, you know, just serve your time in lower areas before you can go be, you know, the first chair or the one leading. And I just, like you said, I don't think he had done that yet. So, I mean, I think he was gung-ho and excited about it and everything, but I don't know if it's going to be the right fit where he is.
Yeah. Well, and so then he finds out from Mick that about this, that he was going to be made first chair. And so now he's sort of faced with this decision. He's gotten the job offer of the new job. And then he has this idea, he realizes that he could stay with Thomas and have this new opportunity. So we kind of, we assume that he's taking the new job anyway, but you know, if there is more, we could see him kind of wrestling with that decision, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, and he kind of also, part of it is not only when he talked with Nell, but also thinking about how his relationship with Danielle expired, and but it was still like good for what it, for that moment of his life. And now he's moving on. So that was pretty decent. People just love offering jobs, and like everybody wants to hire an O'Brien. Like there's no difficulty.
It's nice to be an O'Brien, have everybody offering you property and jobs.
And want to build a studio for you.
Yeah. Like, can you be a part of this family? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good, it's a good gig being an O'Brien. Man. so I, yeah. And again, I really liked with Jay and Abby, he brings her in a Claire and they have this really nice little talk. And she says, just because we have a history does not mean we have a future. And, then Jay says, I think we take it slow or we could take it fast, but I understand. And I thought that was such like a cozy little sit.
Sweet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So sigh. and the, but the uncle Thomas, he does say to Connor, he says, have you thought about why they picked you? Nelson is a shark, this lawyer. So, and it is kind of interesting because the whole reason that Connor left the corporate law was because he didn't like being around those sharks. And so now he's kind of coming back to those sharks.
And then that's why I'm like, this isn't going to be a big fit if these people are very aggressive and very, you know, shark-like. And if that's not what you want to do, then you don't want to be a part of that. So
yeah.
I'm wary about that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So, yeah. And the, I did like the permit guy to Jess. She says, I am a rock standing firm against a sea of impropriety.
Yeah, yeah.
Funny. And she's like, have you ever been in love? That was good. That was really funny. And so then Trace tells Abby about recording the about their studio and asks about Jay. And yeah, so then we get to the point where David finally proposes, and he gives her there's a little pizza, right? And the ring is in the pizza. What do you think about that proposal?
I thought it was good. I'm always scared when people do food and champagne things. I'm like, if that was me, I'd probably accidentally do the wrong thing and like choke to death. So I'm always kind of like, oh, I don't know if that's good. On TV, it looks good, but in real life, but this is TV. So it was good.
Yeah.
But he was really going to choke to death. So
it was really cute. I know. And I'm always kind of like, I don't want to get my ring to get all saucy and dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I would be. So,
but it was really, really cute. And they got engaged. And that whole thing was very fun. I enjoyed that very much. And so then the whole family's there watching Breeze play. And they, Peter Benson agent says that he's taking it to the West End of London. So very exciting. And then we get to Kevin and Sarah's wedding dinner. The only thing that maybe I was a little disappointed about this, was that I feel like she should have had a dress on, like a wedding, like even if it's not like a formal wedding dress.
Just like, so, yeah.
You know? Like if you're gonna have even a small, you know, reception, wedding, dinner, I feel like she should have been in some kind of, even if it was just a white, like my sister-in-law, she just wore basically like a white dress with like spaghetti straps, mm-hmm. and it was like a linen light, you know, like a white dress with cowboy boots. She had cowboy boots on, but I don't know. I feel like would have made it more like a wedding to me.
Yeah, I was surprised that they didn't do something like that, like something
light
and flowery, or just something more just light and just, you know, not too formal, just like, but just, you know, just
because Jessica Cypress would have looked so pretty and something a little weddingy.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I don't know, this really works with her, but it was still really, really pretty, and I liked all the decor and everything, and I liked that whole idea of just having basically like a family meal together to celebrate.
Yeah, that was nice. I liked that too, and the whole family was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I put on Twitter, what did people think about the finale of Chesapeake Shores, and Nina, our friend Nina Weinman, she said, sadly, it seemed more like a series finale than a season finale. Maybe it's the writer in me, but each storyline felt very wrapped up. What do you think? Do you agree with Nina?
I agree. I kind of agree. I kind of thought like a lot of most of the storylines were kind of like, you knew what was happening with people. Well, other than Abby and Trace, you really knew what was happening with other people. They were kind of coming to a place where you're like, okay, I know where they are and where they're going to be, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's besides them with the unknown of what they're going to, I mean, discuss after that. Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see that. Like if it ended, I kind of, like, okay, well, I kind of know where everybody was at and I wouldn't be like upset about it. So I can see what she's saying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's supposedly we're getting the movie.
Yes.
We'll see if that ends up happening. You never can until I'm sitting down watching it. It's always you're not sure if it's with Hallmark sometimes, but
stuff, you don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, it did feel like a lot of sort of conclusions, at least from some of the characters, and it makes sense. I mean, if with a shortened season, I mean, these actors are going to want to, you know, pursue other opportunities, I would think, because the shortened season is going to be shortened pay, less pay for them. And so they're not just going to be hanging around. They're going to want to pursue other pilots and other stuff. And, but, you know, we'll see, I guess, what ends up happening. But there was a nice moment between Mick and Megan, I thought, where they were basically kind of something to the effect of like, look what we've created, look at our family.
Yeah,
and that was nice.
That was very sweet. That was really nice.
Mm-hmm. That was really nice. Me too. And then Abby has been vindicated. They've offered her a job, but she's still back, but she's still deciding what she wants to do. And then Nell says, she gives a toast. She says, you only know for sure one thing in life, where you've been and the journeys you've taken. Our paths come together and then they break apart, and you can hope that they lead you back to those you love, the people you love, the family you have, and the family you hope to have. Today, let's celebrate. So that was, that definitely does feel like a series finale moment.
Yeah, it does. Lots of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, her Nell being Nell, but yeah, I could see that being the way she said it and mm-hmm. the word.
Yeah. And then we get Trace is down at the beach playing his guitar, and over walks Abby, and he says, "What are you doing here?" And I just needed to get away. I just needed to to have a walk. And Trey says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for you. And then they kiss. And all of the Trabby fans were very excited. So, yes, you were not a big fan of this reconciliation.
Well, like I said, I actually like them okay, but just they had so many times of coming together and breaking up and coming together and breaking up. It seemed like for the same reason. And so I was like, okay, just don't, like, do this. Just I need a break. It's just too much. So I was really shocked. I mean, I was like, it wasn't have my mouth open, but when they kissed, I was like, what? I was like, this thing sped up. Like, it seemed like somebody needs to talk to, they need to, like, talk more. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised. It's kind of like, okay, wow, they just already went there. So.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. What I thought, if I was going to guess what was going to happen, I thought that maybe she might kiss Jay and he stumble into it. That I could have seen, and I would have liked that better. But this, yeah, I mean, I just don't feel like it makes sense for their characters. I mean, unless you're just talking pure, like, passion and not any kind of character growth to get them to the spot where they're reconciled. Like, I just don't see Trace as a happy person. I don't see Abby as a happy person. I don't see them together as a happy solution for our characters. And so it's just hard to be that excited about it.
Well, it's just like, I mean, it seemed like they kept breaking up because of, you know, he would be gone and stuff. And it's like, he's a musician. He's probably going to be gone again. And then what's going to happen again? You know, then the same thing happened 3 times already, it feels like. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, there's a lot of times when, you know, a lot of people, people that I know, and you see like this on TV and stuff, you know, people, it's like they have to choose either their career or somebody, but it's like a lot of times that is kind of how it is. It can be hard. It can be hard to have both.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a career driven person, which I'm thankfully not, but a lot of people are.
Sure.
So I think that makes it really hard, and especially with, you know, Trace's thing, which takes him on the road and takes him away from, you know, his own family, his mom and dad, and, you know, whoever he's with. And I don't know if they're going to be able to come to compromise about that.
Yeah, well, and it's just like, what has Abby had to compromise in this relationship?
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing. Literally nothing. Mm-hmm. And Trace has had to compromise everything. And yet I still feel like for some reason he's viewed as in kind of a villainous sort of by certain parts of the fandom that how dare he leave Abby and go on tour. And I just will never understand that as long as I live. He's a singer. He's going to go on tour. They weren't engaged. It doesn't make sense to me, but so I just feel like he's being sort of forced, wedged into this person that's having to do all of the compromising, all of the change, and so it makes their interactions have less sort of chemistry and passion, because I feel like that's all they have is passion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. They don't agree on that, and that's a major, you know, major part of the relationship when you're excited to go on tour and the other person's like, here we go again. And it just, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like, I want to be excited. I want you to be excited for me, not be like, excited, you know.
It's like that, you remember that couple last season who it was in his band, and Trace goes over to their house, the wife is like very supportive of her husband and him going on tour and stuff. And you can tell it's like tough and it's hard and challenging, but they make it work. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you need for, if you're a creative person in the creative arts, you kind of need somebody like that.
Yeah. You need to really be able to compromise and make the most of the time you have. And then when it's time for them to go away, you just have to just, you know, be glad for them. And it's going to be hard, but, you know, make sure to make, you know, agreements like, okay, we're going to make sure that we, you know, FaceTime every, you know, every other night or every night at this time, or, you know, just try to stay connected when they're gone, because it is hard. But I mean, you know, you have to just talk and work through it and not just shut down and just, you know.
But almost any career has that, you know, whether you're a doctor and you have to be at residency 70, 80 hours a week, whether you're a lawyer and you're, and you have to be like to pay those dues, those first, like, I don't know, 5 years maybe before you, before you're made partner, whether you're a PhD and trying to get your PhD and then you end up, just before you get tenure, you have to work here. Like any job takes you away from your family a lot of time, whether, you know, you, if you're a police officer, if you're a, and so I've never liked this whole dynamic in movies where you have like the big recital and is the dad of business going to leave his important meeting in order to be at the recital. It's like, people have to have jobs.
To survive, literally.
So I don't know, that's frustrating to me. I don't feel like, it's not just that I don't like Trace and Abby, I'm fine with them. I don't have anything wrong with Jesse Metcalf. I think he's perfectly serviceable. I have no problem with Megan Ori. I have no problem with it. I just feel like they have not justified this, all of a sudden him being at home all the time, all of a sudden him like dream being a producer, and him and them being back together. It feels forced. Yeah, it feels forced. It does, for sure. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they do get another season, what ends up happening. But if this is the end, I guess it's the end the fans wanted. So there you go. And if you are a big fan of Trabby, please tell us why. Tell us what we're missing. Are we missing that spark? Are we missing that? What is it about them that you like that maybe we're not seeing, that maybe wasn't true with Emma or Jay? Please let us know in the comments section or on Twitter. We'd love to hear your thoughts. But I did, like I said, I really liked the proposal. I thought that was really fun. I really liked Kevin and Sarah and him agreeing to go to Pennsylvania. That was very exciting for me. And I thought that the wedding dinner in general was all really nice and had some nice moments. And so overall, it was a pretty decent finale, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it was too. I think it had lots of good moments and, like I said, lots of kind of some closure and stuff. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so... all right. Well, let us know what you thought of the finale. If you liked it, didn't like it, where are you at on it? And let us know. We would love to talk about that. And Aunt, where can people follow you online?
Well, now I've changed my Twitter. So both my Twitter and my Instagram are at awscott21.
Great. Okay, good. And then you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. Over on my channel, we're starting out Disney Scares Month. For every Monday, I have family movie night recommendation. So we're doing fun, sort of scary, spooky movies from Disney for families. For the month of October. So check that out. I think you'll really enjoy it. And I have a link down to all of our Chesapeake Shores content. I'd really like to thank Lisa in particular, who worked really, really hard on the first part of covering this. This was a very difficult season of television for us to cover on the podcast. So we did our best, and I hope you all enjoyed it. We'll just have to see what happens coming up. But we have a lot of fun content. We're actually going to have our Lifetime preview for Christmas coming up this week. So you're going to love that. And then we have so many great interviews and more previews coming. And it's going to be a great time to be part of the Hallmark Geese podcast family. We have our patron group that we'd really love for you guys to check out. We have a lot of great discussion. Plus we have our giveaways that we do that you can be part of for only $2 a month. You can be part of a bunch of fun giveaways. And then we also have our merch store, which has Chesapeake Shores inspired merch and more. And you can find links to that in the description. So definitely check that all out. And thank you so much, Anne, for coming on and talking about these two episodes. Well, three, really. We talked about three episodes in the last two. So thanks so much.
No problem. It was fun.
All right. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by Hallmarkies for Hallmarkies. For more information about how you can leave your mark on Hallmarkies, visit HallmarkiesPodcast.com, link in the description.